attended with Jamie this morning, and a lot of the questions I'll ask, and they'll be, do you suppose, or what do you think? And, you know, fresh from a one time, you know, when he's trying to get discussion going in the class, when I ask you a question, what do you think? That's an easy answer. No wrong answer. That's what you think, that's what you think, you know? So, we'll do some, do you suppose, what do you think, and things of this nature until we get through with the material of having like 10 verses today in the Bible. But Zacchaeus is the lesson today. What do you know about Zacchaeus?
He was a wee little man.
Wee little man was he?
I climbed up in a sycamore tree.
Why?
To see what he could see.
He wanted to see. Yeah. We'll sing that song a little bit at a time. What else do you know about Zacchaeus? I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty. He was a tax collector. Just a tax collector? He was a chief tax collector. What does that imply? That any other Jew had during Jesus' time. If they followed God, as did Abraham, I think. You know, they were good. So he says they were also sons of Abraham. They were sons of Abraham, that the Son of Man had come to seek and save that which was lost. What does that imply? We suppose Jesus is saying here.
He knew that he was a good man, and he would do what was best for them.
Yeah, and I think that will come out a little bit more as we get into our lesson. But we look at this, but in Jesus' day, when he was teaching, all of the Jews, according to the law, the different law of Moses, they were okay, but they never really were okay until after Jesus died. And his blood was shed for their sins. He was that perfect Lamb of God. They offered their sacrifices, but we use the term that those sins will roll forward, and the remembrance of those sins made every year, and then the sacrifices that they made. But when Jesus died, then all those sins under the Old Testament law, those people who were faithful to the Old Testament law, those sins were forgiven. And so, if we look at that Abraham, the faithful man of God, that's what his children were supposed to be also. They were supposed to be, have that like faith as did Abraham. Who are the lost that Jesus is referring to? talked about here is just a few miles south of the original site of where the old city of Jericho was located. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about this in just a second, about Jericho. There was a man named Zacchaeus. First time he's mentioned, a few things that said about him, that he was a tax collector. He was a tax collector and he was rich. Now, I think, here we go. I'll go the first one out here. I think that Zacchaeus was rich before he was a tax collector. Else, how did he have the money to bid on being the chief tax collector in Jericho? When you say the chief tax collector, what am I saying there? Okay, I'm an old cowboy Indians fan, okay? The chief is the head man. And he's got a bunch of Indians behind him. What that meant was that those that are doing the legwork had to get a little bit more than Zacchaeus would have gotten in order to have money for themselves and get that.
The people who do commerce, you know, from country to country would follow that road because there was a ford there, an easy place to cross the river, and the city grew up there. And Jericho was a very important city, and we need to remember that. That, guys, it doesn't bother me if it doesn't bother me if this is not recorded or whatever. You know, we'll just go on with it. I'll talk louder. That's an important thing about Jericho, that it was located, you know, where it was located. It also had a customs station, just like was stated a while ago. You know, there'd be a place there where people had to pay taxes. They might have even had to pay to cross the river because of the so forth, to pay the road tax and for the goods that are coming in. Just like in the United States and other countries, there's a custom on any goods that are brought into the country. So this may be another reason why Jericho is a very wealthy city. It was one of the wealthiest cities in Palestine. What's that mean to Zacchaeus? You know, the money's rolling in. You know, so he was a very wealthy man. It was one of the most fertile parts of Judea. And again, this would mean, you know, when you have a fertile area, well, you know, there's a lot of money being made off of agriculture. We lived, when I was in Arkansas, we lived in what was called the Mississippi Delta area. And it's a very fertile area. Good rice and cotton, soybeans, corn, whatever you want to grow, in most years would grow very well. It had extensive and diverse tax income. So again, indicating the fact that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man and getting richer. Zacchaeus was seeking to see the Lord. What does it mean that we've already answered that one? That he was a chief tax collector. He had other tax collectors working under him. And then in verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Why do you suppose that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus? Why it was so important for him to see Jesus? Curious? Could be. Remember, there's no wrong answer on these. Go ahead.
I think he probably realized that there was something missing in his life that money could not provide. And he thought maybe this special prophet could solve that problem.
Could be, you know. And I don't have the answer for this. So, you know, there's no wrong answers on it, you know, because we aren't told specifically in the Bible just exactly why. There is an indication that he may have known a little bit more about Jesus than is stated here. That he's heard about him. He's heard about what he has done throughout Judea. Perhaps he knew, or he thought anyway, that this could be the Messiah. Go ahead.
It kind of goes along with what you're saying is, you know, there wasn't a lot of things at this particular time in the world, and the Jews, they hadn't seen a prophet, they hadn't seen the power of God in decades, in centuries. And
y'all going to have to excuse me. I get.
They have heard about this man.
And I tend to go along with that, but again, that's our things. It's not anything biblical on it, but he had a strong desire. Have you ever been so short of stature that you weren't able to see something that you really wanted to see? everybody in front of you is just too tall, and he couldn't see over them. I got my first whipping in school because when I grew up in rural Arkansas, we'd never seen a fire truck. I'd never seen a fire truck till first or second grade. And we were at school, little school in Rector, Arkansas, and lo and behold, we had a fire outside the school, just right outside the window. The teacher and everybody else was all crowded around the window, and I was sitting on the far side away from the window, and actually the time I got there, I couldn't see. So I climbed up on the desk and was looking over everybody's head at the fire truck, just amazed. And the teacher turned around, and she got me. But Zacchaeus had such a desire to see Jesus that he knew the direction. How did he know which direction Jesus was going to go? What do you suppose again? What do you think? Because we aren't told. But we do know that he went around everybody, on down the road, climbed up in this tree so that he could see Jesus. It was that important to him. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. The Bible does not tell us why Zacchaeus was so anxious to see Jesus, but what do you think was the reason? And we've talked that one, wore that one out. Have you ever allowed an obstacle to stand between you and something you wanted or perhaps needed to do? Anybody got a story for me? I think that sometime in our life that whether it be a physical or a spiritual need that we have, that we maybe put off doing things, we allow Satan to put a reason in our heart for not doing as we know that we ought to do. But it's easy. And it takes a great deal of determination and a great deal of humbleness, I think, to overcome those things. And we should never allow anything, whether it be physical or spiritual, to come between us and our service to God. I'll touch on that a little bit more later too. Luke 19, and beginning of verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? He knows everything. He knew everything. He knew the heart, the thoughts of the heart, even the thoughts that were never spoken. He knew those things. And over again, we see that in Jesus' ministry. And we see that, and he knew the heart of Zacchaeus too. And I think that he and again, this is again, I'm supposing, and my thinks are entering in here. It's not biblical. But I think that he knew that Zacchaeus was seeking him. That he was seeking truth, and he was looking to Jesus as the source of that truth. So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What's that say to us about our coming to know Jesus, do we experience that same joy in our heart when we become a child of God?
We should.
We should, absolutely. When we rededicate our lives to the Lord, when we do those things that we're commanded to do, do we have joy in our hearts today because we've gathered together to worship God? Have we overcome obstacles that were placed in our path this day as we've come to worship God? Zacchaeus was an individual who had a great desire to get to know more about the Lord. And here Jesus has said, I'm going to come to your house today. Was Jesus invited? No, no. He just simply makes that statement because remember who Zacchaeus is. That he is a tax collector. How do you think he's been treated by the Jews? Not only is he a tax collector, he is a chief tax collector. And so we look at this and again, we need to remember that Zacchaeus is not treated very well among the Jews. And here Jesus is, the king of the Jews, and he's saying, I'm going to come to your house. How many people, how many Jewish people do you think has ever come to visit with Zacchaeus?
It's interesting because the Pharisees did the same thing when they collected at the temple. They were thieves too. I think privately they disdained him, but they probably fawned over him because if you upset the tax collector, what was he going to do? He's going to collect more taxes. So they probably did fawn over him some, but privately they just couldn't stand him.
And they, in this passage, are going to show their disdain for Zacchaeus and those of his kind as a tax collector. And so I think you can feel the joy perhaps that Jesus had in his or that Zacchaeus had in his heart for Jesus saying, I'm going to come into your house today. Did the Jews normally have anything to do with the tax collectors? We kind of touched on that already, but absolutely not. They just, as a whole, they disdained them. Do you think it's possible that Jesus saw in Zacchaeus something that the Jews, nor possibly even the apostles and disciples of Jesus, could not see? You know, again, we have example after example where Jesus looked into the hearts of man, looked in even to the thoughts of men, and expressed those things that had never been spoken. He knows our hearts. He knows our intents. He knows our wishes. And we need to look at Him as our Savior. And we need to look and recognize that the love that God had for all of mankind, that He would send His Son to die for us. And that because of the love, that we would respond in a like manner and be obedient to our God, and obedient to our Savior, be a part of His body, the church. Okay. I'm going to try to fix this thing where it doesn't do that. Be good. How do you think Zacchaeus felt about Jesus inviting himself to his house? We know that he was joyful, but I think that he probably felt honored that here this man who has come preaching and teaching the love of God thought that he was worthy of being able to have Jesus come and just visit, maybe have a meal. We're not told that he had one, but you know, he had been traveling. It stands to reason he had some refreshments. So, you know, it was quite an honor for Zacchaeus, and we need to recognize that he felt honored and joyful. Verse 7, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.